We greet you this morning in the blessed name of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, who though he was crucified and buried, is resurrected, and even now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Hallelujah. We greet you in his name. We are thankful to be here with you this morning. It's a blessing for us to be here, and we're thankful for these beautiful moments and opportunities we have to sit together and to look into the Word of God together. So welcome to the service this morning. I invite you to join, continue to enter in, engage our minds and hearts, and ask God what He has for us here this morning, speaking to us. Have your Bibles there. Let's turn to Isaiah 61. I'd like to continue our thoughts from the book of Isaiah. Well, we titled this series, The Gospel According to Isaiah. And today, the finish of that is the Messiah's ministry. The Gospel According to Isaiah, the Messiah's ministry. The ministry of the Messiah. We'd like to try to look at that this morning. Just a little review this morning. We tried to start this series by looking at Isaiah chapter 1. Just a little bit of a backdrop for the context of, and the people in which the book of Isaiah was written to there. And then it was kind of an introduction to the book of Isaiah. The second message, we considered the vision of Isaiah, what Isaiah saw. The first several chapters there in Isaiah. And then the third message was Emmanuel, the incarnation, God with us. See, the gospel according to Isaiah, we see the gospel in there, and just like in the gospel accounts in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, several of them begin there with the birth of Jesus Christ. And that is, we do find that in Isaiah. Emmanuel, God with us, and the incarnation of the Blessed Redeemer to come, not just to send prophets and men of God to preach and teach, but for the Lord Himself to come and visit His people in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. That is an amazing part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His incarnation. And then the fourth, last time we tried to look at the gospel according to Isaiah, repentance in Isaiah 40, the ministry of John the Baptist. The ministry of John the Baptist was a ministry of repentance. It's a powerful ministry. There's a beautiful ministry recorded for us, and it begins there in Isaiah 40. In those first 11 verses or so of Isaiah 40, and it records for us, this is 600-700 years before John the Baptist came, and we see there that it was prophesied, and Isaiah was talking about the ministry of John the Baptist 600-700 years before he actually came. He was talking about this gospel would be introduced, it would be brought in, following closely on the ministry of repentance, a ministry of repentance. And then faith, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we tried to look at that last time. And then following that, ministry of John the Baptist, today we'd like to look at the Messiah's ministry, or the ministry of the Messiah. What does Messiah mean? Anyone? What does Messiah mean? Anointed one, thank you. It's the same in the New Testament. We see the word Christ is used, and it simply means anointed. When it says Jesus the Christ in the New Testament, it's speaking about Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the anointed one. And so we have that in the New Testament. He is more frequently referred to and referenced as the Christ, the anointed. But that is Messiah. That's what Messiah meant in the Old Testament. There would be an anointed one that would come. There would be an anointed ministry that would be coming here. And this is prophesied in the book of Isaiah, and it's pointing to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read these first seven verses in Isaiah 61. Actually, before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. We'll bow our heads together. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of turning in you. You never have to take back anything you said because you know the end from the beginning. And so what you speak is true. And we thank you for that, Father, because you are the author of all truth. And we just bless and magnify your name today. We thank you for this opportunity we have to sit together. Now, Father, as we look into your word here, we just ask for hearts that are humble, hearts that are soft, and hearts that are hungry and thirsty this morning, hearts that are longing to see something in your word here this morning, hearts that are longing to be fed, hearts that are longing to be nourished and cared for this morning and ministered to from the water of your word, as we already heard this morning. So we just ask that you bless your word to our hearts, not so much the things I have to say, but we just ask that you open your word to our hearts and open our hearts to your word. Come and speak to us here this morning. Have your way in our midst. Glorify Jesus in our midst, Father. He has been glorified. And we just ask that our understanding of him, that our love and devotion to the Lord Jesus this morning could be heightened and depthened, made deeper and broader and more sincere and more genuine as we consider the ministry of the Messiah. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to us today. Direct us by your Holy Spirit and fill us with your love and grace in Jesus' name. Okay, I'd like to read this passage and look at the parallel passage for at least the first three verses, the first two verses to this in Luke 4. So we'll try to keep this moving. Let's read here Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. You see that there? We said Messiah means anointed one. Christ means anointed. And here we see it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. We heard about some of those desolations this morning in the opening meditation. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien, or the heathen, or the strangers, shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Now if you should just keep your finger here in Isaiah 61 and then turn to Luke chapter 4 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 4, if you can, keep your finger here between these two. And actually three passages, main passages, we'll eventually look at Isaiah 42, the first seven verses. And these three are very parallel passages, I think, in the Word of God. But we see this account here in Luke chapter 4. We have a little introduction here. In the first part of Luke 4, we see how Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and he faced his temptations there. And then after he returned from that in verse 14, Luke 4 verse 14. And Jesus returned, okay? He returned from this time of testing, this time of temptation. He returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned under the unction, under the anointing of the Spirit of the Almighty God. He was the Messiah. He was the anointed one, the Christ. And he was anointed, and he returned into Galilee to begin his ministry under this anointing of the Holy Ghost. And he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. That's what happened in Galilee. Now he came to Nazareth. It's not too far from the region of Galilee there, but he came to Nazareth, his hometown, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed this book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And you can only imagine, the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were looking at Jesus. What's he going to say now? I mean, that's an amazing passage of Scripture. That's a beautiful passage of Scripture. And if you and I had lived 600 years before Christ came, or any time through that period before He came, and we read that passage of Scripture in Isaiah 61, our hearts would have said within us, "What is going to happen here? This is amazing. What is the Lord going to do here? Look at this prophecy of what God is going to do in the tremendous promise we see there in Isaiah 61." And so these people heard, Jesus gets up and He reads this passage about this anointed ministry. And he closed the book and he gives it to the minister. But he stays standing there and everyone's thinking, yes, that's an amazing passage of Scripture. What a blessed passage of Scripture. What are you going to tell us about it? And the eyes of all them are looking right at him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." I'm sure you could have heard a pin drop. I'm sure it was quietness and silence. As the people were probably familiar with that passage. What a gracious passage of Scripture. What beautiful promises there. And then he says, "This day, this Scripture is fulfilled in your ears." The ministry of the Messiah. The ministry of the Messiah. What a ministry. What a beautiful ministry. Now I want us to notice here in both of these passages, it says to preach. It says to preach and to heal. To preach and to set at liberty. To preach and to comfort. So this ministry is going to have two pillars, if you want. It's going to have two aspects of this ministry of the Messiah. He says to preach and to heal, to preach and to set at liberty, to preach and to comfort. So he's going to do one thing for sure. He's going to preach. All right. But he's also going to, there will be that which he begins to say and to do. He will say the gospel and he will show them the gospel. He will preach the gospel and he will show them the gospel. The ministry of Christ included both. And we read this in Luke 24 there on the Emmaus Road as these two men were walking there with the Lord himself. And the Lord, it says he began to open up to them the Scriptures there and to teach them. But before that happened, these men were kind of surprised that this man that was traveling with them, which was Jesus, had not heard about all that had taken place. And they said to them, "Haven't you heard what took place today concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet?" And then it says this, "He was mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." You see, in the ministry of Jesus, you have an anointed Christ, who was mighty in deed and word. Word and deed. Word and deed. Preach, do. Preach, do. It's an amazing characteristic of the ministry of Christ. In Acts 1:1, here we have this letter being written by Luke. And he says here in verse 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." And he's referring to the gospel account of Luke. He's referring to his gospel account that he recorded in the gospel of Luke. And he said, "That former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." And that's there's a characteristic of the ministry of Jesus. He began to do and to teach. He began to preach and to deliver. To preach and to deliver. Let's turn to Matthew 4. We'll look at some of this in Matthew 4. We can look at it from some of the other gospel accounts. I have too many scripture references here, so I'm going to try to not make this too jerky. Jerk you around here this morning, but I want to try to lay some principles here as we look at this amazing ministry, the ministry of the Messiah. In Matthew 4, verse 23, this follows his account there where he was tempted by the devil. In Matthew, we looked at it in Luke, but in Matthew 4, 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." So that's what he was preaching and teaching. And then it says, "healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." And it tells us what happened. They're following him. So it says he went about teaching and preaching and healing and delivering and setting free the captives. You see that there in that ministry. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. The ministry of Christ, the Messiah, includes both of these aspects. I don't think we should separate them. In Matthew 9, verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." So I want to draw your attention to that. Matthew 13, one more reference on this subject. Looking at in the ministry of Christ, we have both what he taught and what he did. Alright, and there's a reason I want to magnify this point, okay? And I'll come to some application in just a moment here. In Matthew 13, we will come back and look at this passage a little bit later. But I want to look at verse 16 and verse 17. And he is speaking to his disciples here. And Jesus is telling his disciples that they are blessed to be able it says here in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. "For verily," verse 17, "for truly I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men," speaking about former men who lived in former times in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, or whatever, he said, "many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see and have seen them," and have not seen them, I'm sorry. "And to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them." He said, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the ministry of the Messiah and to hear the teaching in the ministry of the Messiah. And they have not been able to see or to hear it. But you are blessed, you disciples, he says, because you have been able to hear the ministry of the Messiah and you've been able to observe, you've been able to see the ministry of the Messiah. And so in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, you have both characterized. You have what he taught and what he did. Now, a little later in Matthew 13, I said it will be in verse 54, it says, "And when he was coming to his own country," this is talking, I think, about the account we read there in Luke 4, "and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished." They were amazed at his teaching, and look at what they said about Jesus. They said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom, this amazing teaching, and these mighty works. He had amazing teaching and mighty works because he was the anointed one. All that Jesus began to teach and to do. So the ministry of Christ includes both. It's kind of like when we were children in school, sometimes our teacher would tell us we're going to have a session in the afternoon of show and tell. You're going to bring some object to school and you're going to tell us a story about it. Well, Jesus Christ, in the ministry of Christ, you have both. You have a tremendous show and tell. And the important, the thing that we need to get out of this is that the world, you see, the world needs to see and hear the gospel of Christ. The world needs to hear the gospel and the world needs to see the gospel of Christ. Like Ravenhill said, and I've quoted it before, the world's not waiting for a new definition of Christianity, but a new demonstration of the gospel. And so this calling, this ministry of the Lord Jesus, what I want to impress upon our hearts today is it includes the preaching and teaching, and it includes the showing to the world the amazing grace and power of the Almighty God as it works itself out in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this ministry is to continue on. This ministry didn't end when He died on the cross. You see, it continued on in the book of Acts. And Luke is saying in verse 1 there that I already recorded all that He began to do and to teach. And now I'm going to record these 28 chapters in the book of the Acts of the Apostles of all that He continued to do and to teach through the apostles in the early church. It's like Dale Heise has said already. He says, no church knows how to function until it has seen how Christ functioned. We are here to do what He did and to teach what He taught. This is the most important point I have in this message. And it's right at the beginning here this morning. But this is the most important point we have in this message is that we would look into the Word of God and that our hearts could burn within us. And that we could see, yes, Lord, that is a beautiful ministry. The teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus is beautiful and powerful. And that is so amazing. And not only what He preached and what He taught, but what He did in the ministry of the Lord Jesus includes both. In Acts 1:8, He told those apostles there, He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall continue on this ministry that was entrusted to me. And you will do it under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And this passage opens up in Isaiah 61 and in Luke 4 there. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach and to deliver. The ministry of the Messiah carries on through His church. What do my neighbors see? What do my neighbors hear? What if Christ lived at my address? What if Jesus lived in my home and met the people that I meet? Do they see in me what they would see in Him? Do they hear from me what they would hear from Him? What does this community see and hear from BCF? What are we showing and telling to this community? Is it what He taught? And is it what He did? For this is the ministry of Christ. That is the ministry of Christ. The first thing we want to look at here is the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah 42, I told you we would look at this, and I'm not going to be able to reference it every time that I have it here in my notes, but I think we should reference this because it is also a prophecy of the ministry of the Messiah. And there are more in Isaiah, and we want to look at a few of them, but the first point we want to consider here is that it is an anointed ministry. It is a spiritual ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is working and it is anointed. Isaiah 42 verse 1, behold my servant, this is speaking of the Messiah, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, Now notice here, I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. We see both in here. We see that in this ministry of Christ, a bruised reed he would not break, and he would, and the smoking flax he would not quench. He was able to minister to those needy, those tremendous needs that he encountered. And then we see that his truth, he will not fail, and the isles wait for his law. He will bring forth judgment unto truth. There's the Word of God coming forth, and the Spirit of God, and there's a ministry happening here that's anointed. And verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither praise to graven images. Now back to Isaiah 11 yet, we're talking here that this would be a spiritual ministry, a ministry that is under the unction and anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 11 verses 2 through 5, verse 1 begins in Isaiah 11. We read this, I think, in the second or third message. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Here's the Messiah. And it tells us something again here about the ministry of the Messiah. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, which is his word, the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. I see that his word, it's a ministry in the word of God, under the anointing of God, in the Spirit of God. In righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. But the point here is that this is a spiritual ministry. In John 3, 6, it tells us there's Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. In verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And this is a spiritual ministry. This Messiah, this anointed one, would have a ministry under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit of God. We already noted Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Where he said, as he sent those disciples out, he said, you wait here in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And then the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses unto me in all the earth, beginning at Jerusalem there and to all the world. So it's an anointed ministry. It's a spiritual ministry. The ministry of Christ is under the anointing and spirit and the power of God. We want to note that first. And the second point with that, it's an anointed ministry. It's a spiritual ministry. And that's what the world needs, brothers and sisters. They need information. They need help. And it includes the Word of the God, of God. And we're going to talk about that next. It includes the Word of God. But brothers, we cannot bring a spiritual ministry. I'm afraid this has been challenging my own heart, okay? But I cannot have a spiritual ministry unless I'm filled with the Spirit of God, unless I'm walking in the Spirit of God. I cannot have a spiritual ministry and walk after the flesh. I can't do that. And if I want to be included and engaged and involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, I must be willing to walk in the Spirit of God and give none occasion to the flesh. Because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so the ministry of Christ was an anointed ministry. Now first, the next point we want to look at, it was a ministry to preach the gospel to the poor, it says. In Luke, it says unto the meek in Isaiah, same thing basically. And we already read that in Matthew 4:21. But he went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And so in this anointed, in this ministry of Christ, we have the preaching of the gospel, the proclaiming, it says. It uses that word in Isaiah 61. But we have the gospel being proclaimed and preached. It's an interesting truth that that's how God determined to spread his word across the world. As Paul said in Corinthians, the foolishness of preaching. The preaching and proclaiming of the gospel, which I want to tie that in with simply as the, with the word of God. And this is the ministry of Christ. It is the ministry of the word. It's the ministry of the gospel, but it's the ministry of the word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the word was there. And the word proclaimed the word. The word preached to them. And the word ministered to them. And the word taught them in their synagogues. It wasn't philosophy or psychology. It wasn't the wisdom of man, but it was the wisdom of God. And that's what those people in Nazareth said there in Matthew 13. They said, "Whencefore has this man this mighty wisdom? Where did it come from?" It was the word of God. And we read in the new covenant that in this new covenant, God says, "I will put my word, I will put my laws into the hearts of this people by the Holy Spirit. And I will put my laws, my word into their minds and into their hearts. And I will cause them to walk in my ways." And it was a ministry of the word. The Lord Jesus, we're not going to follow that theme through the four gospel accounts, but you could follow it. He preached and he taught. He preached and he taught. He preached and he taught the word of God. Amazing. It must have been amazing to hear Jesus teach and expound on the word of God. But it's to preach the gospel. This ministry of Christ, this ministry of the Messiah, is to proclaim the word of God, to preach the gospel in the word of God. Not the ideology of men, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the everlasting God. And in Acts, it's interesting here in the early church, you look up that, do a word search on the word preached with ED at the end, preached. And you're going through there, and it's used 6-7 times in a lot of the New Testament books. But you get to the book of Acts, and it's in there over 20 times. Way more. And that's what the church did in the book of Acts. They preached the word. You see, because the word logos is used more in the book of Acts than any other New Testament book. Logos. And so they preached, used more frequently than any New Testament book. And the word is used more frequently than any New Testament work. In the early church there in Acts, they preached the word. And they carried on the ministry of Jesus because that's what he did. He preached and taught the word of God. And they carried it on. What do I preach? What do I teach? What do I preach? This was the ministry of Christ. It was characterized by the proclaiming and the teaching and expounding of the word of God. Paul said to Timothy there in 2 Timothy before he, some final words to his disciple Timothy, he just said, "Preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy." You see, the ministry of Jesus proclaims the word of God because men and women are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God and their lives are transformed. The power, the transforming power of the word of God. And as he preached here, it says, he proclaimed deliverance to the captives. He preached the gospel. It says to preach deliverance to the captives in Luke 4. But it says proclaimed deliverance in Isaiah 61. Same thing. And a recovering of sight to the blind. So this is what happened as Jesus, the ministry of Christ, as he preached and taught the word of God. We have that account in Luke 24 where he's with his disciples there. And it says he breathed on them. And then he opened their understanding and they understood the scriptures. But his ministry consisted of that. And as a result of his ministry, as he preached and taught the word of God, there was deliverance for the captives. And there was a recovering of sight to the blind. And that phrase is not in Isaiah 61, that's in Luke 4:18. But it is in the KJV, but it is in the Septuagint, in Isaiah 61. Recovering of sight to the blind, following the proclaiming deliverance to to the captives. And this was part of the ministry of Christ. Let's talk about this a little bit. All right. Isaiah 42. Sorry, we're back there in Isaiah 42. We read this, that this ministry of Christ, it says, verse 7, would open the blind eyes to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And this ministry of Christ would open the blind, the spiritual blind, for sure. It also will talk more about the physical blind later. But it was a ministry that would open the eyes of the blind. Now look down in Isaiah 42, verse 18 and 19. You see, in Isaiah 42, you have two different servants that are listed. You have the servant of the Lord. You have the servant of God, the Messiah, the true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one. And then in verses 18 and 19, you have the God's servant Israel. And you have him interspersed throughout Isaiah various times. Sometimes he talks about his servant, the Messiah, and sometimes he talks about his servant Israel, who was unfaithful. Look what he says about his servant Israel in verse 18 and 19. He says, "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant?" This was the nation of Israel. They were blind to the gospel word. They were blind. Why were they blind? And why were they deaf? Why? They forsook the Lord. Their unbelief blinded them and hardened their hearts. They could not see the eternal purpose of God. They could not see the will of God. They were blind, spiritually blind. In the ministry of this Messiah, it is said here that he was prophesied that he would open the eyes of the blind. He would open the scriptures to the hearts of people, and he would open the hearts of people to the scripture. But he would come and he would open it up, and he would open the eyes of the blind. It's a beautiful prayer as we read the word of God. Oh God, let me see what you have to show me in this word. We can read the same passage 50 times and miss something in there. And there could be one time where we're reading through there and our eyes open up. It's revelation. A ministry of revelation would characterize the ministry of this Messiah. It says in Matthew 4, I'll read these, you don't need to turn there, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region of in shadow of death, light is sprung up." And so the ministry of the Lord Jesus would be a ministry that is characterized by light, by understanding, by people having spiritual perception and understanding. He would open the understanding of the people, recovering of sight to the blind. Now let's turn there to Matthew. I have more scriptures references than normal. I understand that. But Matthew 13, we read this just earlier. And this ministry of Jesus, this ministry of the Messiah would be characterized by this. And he said there in Matthew 13, verse 10, after he gave this parable of the sower, he said, and it says, "And the disciples came and said unto him," in verse 10 of Matthew 13, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance." And that's a beautiful prayer there. That's a beautiful promise to any one of us here who are students of the Word of God. If our heart is open and we love what we receive and we obey what we receive, He will give us more. And more understanding. More light, Lord. Like the two men in the debate. As they're debating, the one kept writing down on the paper. He kept writing down and writing down when it seemed like he was in a tight spot. And at the end of the debate, they went and looked at what he wrote. And he just said, "More light, Lord. More light, Lord." The prayer, more light. Verse 12, "But whoso hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not," they're blind, "and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." They're blind in death. Verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. In seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." There remained a certain amount of blindness, even through the ministry of Christ. But it says here in verse 15, "Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And then he said, blessed are your eyes to the disciples, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So this ministry of Christ would bring revelation, would open people's eyes and help them understand. It's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And people would say, for the first time, they would see the wisdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ and would surrender their lives to Him. So this ministry, the word of the gospel, would bring sight to the blind. It says here it would bring deliverance to the captives. And I'm not going to turn to these scriptures for the sake of time. But the Word of God delivers souls that are in bondage. Souls that are captive. We could look in the Gospel of John. That's where I would look. John chapter 5, it simply says that, I'll read one verse to you. But as this Word of God is proclaimed and preached forth, the power of the Word of God, the teaching of the everlasting God through the Lord Jesus Christ under the anointing of the Spirit, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, speaking to His disciples, he that hears My Word and believes on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. From death unto life. Deliverance of the captives. We were bound in sin, dead in our trespasses and sin. And He says, whoever hears My Word and believes, you have the Word of God and faith in the heart of an individual come together. And when that happens, there's eternal life. And this ministry of the Lord Jesus did that. It was the Word of God going forward as He preached the gospel. And those who heard it, those who really heard it, were converted. In verse 25 of John 5, He goes on and says, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And it's an amazing testimony of the deliverance, the power of the deliverance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Deliverance of the captives. He will preach the deliverance of the captives. To preach deliverance to the captives, it said there in Luke 4. To preach, and the Word of God is going out under the Spirit of God, and captives are delivered, and eyes are opened up, and understanding is given. To tie these two points together, and the anointed ministry of Christ, let's look to Acts 26. I want you to see this here. Acts 26, we're talking about the ministry of Christ, and how this ministry, as He preached and proclaimed the gospel, it gave light and understanding to people's hearts, the Word of God did, and how it delivered them. From the as the captives of sin and of Satan. Acts 26, we see this ministry carried on in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now he's preaching here, he's sharing his testimony with Agrippa, the king there, and this is part of his testimony, beginning in verse 12. He shares it there, and then he shares what happened there when he was knocked to the ground. In verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now here's a commission from the Lord himself to the apostle Paul. Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. I'm going to show you some more. I have revealed some things, and I'm going to show you some more. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He's saying, Paul, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. You will have a ministry among the Gentile people and nations. And this is what your ministry will consist of. Look at verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. That sounds like deliverance to me. That sounds like a ministry of revelation, a ministry under the anointing of the Spirit of God in the Word of God going forth in men and women's eyes being opened up to open their eyes. Their eyes are opened up to the things of God, the kingdom of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. And not only are their eyes opened up, but they're delivered. Delivered from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Me. Jesus speaking there. It's an amazing ministry. The gospel preached, proclaimed, brought eyesight, understanding, recovering of sight of the blind, and deliverance to the captives. The Word of God does that. Jesus said in John 8:31 there that if you continue in my word, and then are you my disciples indeed. And goes on there and says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I think he says it twice there in John 8. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There's deliverance. A ministry of understanding and revelation. A ministry of deliverance. The ministry of Christ, the Anointed One. And now we see here also that was he would preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He would proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It says it both in Isaiah 61 and Luke 4:19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What does this mean? This Messiah in his ministry, he would preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Anyone have a thought? What does that mean? What is that acceptable year of the Lord? I'll submit to you what I think it is. Let's turn to Leviticus 25. To preach and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This would be part of the ministry of this Messiah, this Anointed One. He would preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, what I see here in Leviticus 25, you can help me see this more clearly if I'm not seeing it right. In here in Leviticus 25, starting in verse 9, we have what was called the year of Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. I think it was the year of Jubilee. And let's just read. I'm going to read this quickly, okay? I don't want to jerk you around, but try to follow along. In Leviticus 25, verse 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet, before that, it's talking about the Sabbath year. Every seventh year was supposed to be a year of Sabbath. And then there were 49 years, and then there was a year of Jubilee, verse 9, Leviticus 25. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of atonement. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Those were people that had been slaves were now returned. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor to gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Verse 17, ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord thy God. And I think this is acceptable year of the Lord. It sounds a little bit like the kingdom of God to me, like God's kingdom now. And this anointed ministry, the ministry of the Messiah, would include and would incorporate and would preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I think it simply meant that this year of Jubilee was pointing to a time of God's kingdom and a reigning of God's kingdom. And I believe the acceptable year of the Lord is simply he was preaching the kingdom of God. It says in Matthew 4:23, we read, and in Mark 1:14, and Matthew 9 there also, it says that he went about everywhere preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. A year of Jubilee, a year of release, a year of deliverance, a year of consecrated, wholly consecrated to the Lord. And I think of that, and he preached the acceptable year of the Lord. He preached it on Matthew 5:6-7. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom of God would be characterized and made up of men and women who are of poverty of spirit, who are broken in heart and contrite in heart. And this would be the characteristic of them. This kingdom of God now, it begins now. And he went about everywhere preaching the kingdom of God. I believe it was referring to that, as it said, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. A year of Jubilee. And the kingdom is that. The year of Jubilee was a type. It was pointing to the coming of God's kingdom on earth. And it has begun and will be more fully realized in the future. But we see his ministry, the ministry of this Messiah. He would preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He would preach the kingdom of God in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Multiple references in his parables in Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like unto this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto that. The kingdom of heaven is like unto this. We know that. And I'm not going to elaborate on this much more, but we know that his ministry was one of preaching the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. He came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, God's kingdom and reign on earth. Now we need to move here, and we'll move on here. That was the preaching of the ministry of Christ. He came to preach the word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the ministry of Christ is characterized by his teaching and preaching ministry. Now it says something else. That he says he was mighty in word, but he was also mighty in deed. And we'll try to look at that a little bit as we move towards closing here. It says here that not only would he preach the gospel, but he would bind up the brokenhearted. He would heal the brokenhearted. He would set at liberty them that are bound or bruised. And he would comfort all them that mourn. What an amazing ministry. He would heal. He would set at liberty. And he would comfort all that mourn. In this ministry of Christ, this ministry of the Messiah, it would bind up. It would heal. It would deliver. And it would bring comfort and hope to the downtrodden. What a beautiful picture. Let me read just a couple of these references. You don't need to turn there. Isaiah 29, 18 and 19. Speaking of what this Messiah, this anointed one would do, his ministry would be characterized. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. Says, in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 32 begins with, I'll just read a couple passages here for you. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, verse 3 of Isaiah 32. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. Isaiah 35, a few verses here, verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out in streams in the desert. You know, all pointing forward to the ministry of the Messiah. He would come and he would bring deliverance, hope, and healing. What a beautiful expression of his ministry. As we look at it recorded for us in the gospel accounts, I think of Mark chapter 1. The gospel account of Mark chapter 1. A few references here. We're talking about the beautiful, powerful ministry of the Lord Jesus. See, it's one thing to proclaim deliverance. It's one thing to preach the powerful gospel and the word of God. It's one thing to do that. But then following right along with that was the evidence of the power of this ministry, the transforming power as the hurting, as the lost, as the demon possessed were delivered and healed and restored. You see the power of this ministry in the anointed Messiah. What an amazing ministry. The preaching and the delivering, the healing and setting at liberty. Mark 1:29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And later in this chapter, he cleanses a leper. And I just think it's such a beautiful part of the ministry of Christ. His ministry was characterized by the Word of God as he proclaimed and preached it and taught it. But his ministry was also, it was a beautiful ministry of deliverance of the captives, setting a free, deliverance from demonic oppression. You have that leper man later here in Mark 1. And he came running unto him and kneeling down at Jesus' feet. And he knelt down at Jesus' feet and besought him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." This anointed Messiah's ministry, "I will." Healed, restored, cleansed. Wow, what a beautiful ministry. What a beautiful ministry. What an expression of the power of the gospel. What a ministry of help and hope. And brothers and sisters, this challenges my own heart, but what a ministry of help and hope. Do we have this ministry? And I'm not saying that we can raise the dead and heal the sick like Christ did. I'm not saying that, or the apostles there in Acts. But I'm saying, do we have the ministry that wants to help the hurting and give hope to those who are downtrodden, give hope to the hopeless? What a ministry of hope and comfort and help. The ministry of Jesus. What a beautiful ministry. What a demonstration of power and glory. And like the disciples said there, what mighty works have shown themselves. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message, but it must be taught and shown. It must be seen. It must be heard and seen. And as much as simply by loving one another, living by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. We need to, the gospel of Jesus Christ wants to be shown to the world. Yes, let's tell them, but let's show them. What a beautiful ministry. We're not going to look at these passages in John talking about the works of God. So we're cutting that a little bit short. But what a ministry of help and hope. Do we have this ministry? A ministry of help, a ministry of hope, a ministry that hears. You see, do I hear the cry of the oppressed? Do I even care? Do I even care? Is my heart open? Is my ear listening for the cry of the oppressed? Is my heart moved by the needs of humanity? Do I even care? I know we can't change everything at all. There are tremendous needs in this world. And I know we can't meet them all. But do I care about it? And do I believe in my heart that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer for humanity? It will change the world if the church will proclaim it and live it. The ministry of Jesus. What a beautiful ministry. What a powerful ministry. I want to close with this verse. We could go on and read the rest of Isaiah 61. I just want to ask you to read it sometime this week. Think about the rest of that. There is joy there. There is righteousness coming forth. Following the ministry of Christ, there is righteousness springing forth. There are men that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. It's a beautiful ministry. And following that ministry of the Lord Jesus, there's righteousness, there's eternal life, there's hope, there's help, there's healing, there's strength, there's wisdom, there's beauty, and there's power to meet the needs of the world. Romans 5:21 concludes that chapter there. This is kind of an interesting way. It's kind of how Kevin concluded his opening. I appreciated the thoughts he shared there. Beautiful challenge for us to pray about. But some of the same thoughts here. says that as sin hath reigned unto death. And we can see that happening all around us. Sin is reigning unto death. And where sin reigns, it will lead to death. Sin, where sin reigns, it will lead to death. And sin is reigning in the world. Sin is reigning in the world. Just today, many broken hearts, divorce, separation, sin and pain bring separation between men and women, husbands and wives, children, neighbors, killing each other, fighting, war. All that is because sin is reigning. It's in the world. But just as sin is reigning unto death, let's finish the rest of the verse. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. In this beautiful ministry of Jesus, it's a ministry where grace is reigning unto righteousness. There is help, there is hope, and there is healing for the needs of humanity, for the power of sin, the consequences of sin. I understand that we still face some of the consequences of sin, namely death, physical death. But even in the middle of that, we have hope that goes beyond the grave. And so I just want to leave those thoughts with you this morning as we consider the gospel according to Isaiah, the ministry, the Messiah's ministry, the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And this beautiful ministry, brothers and sisters, I believe this beautiful ministry has been committed to the care of the church. I believe the church is called to take up this ministry wherever we are, wherever we go, into all the world under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the same anointing. We need that anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need to take the Word of God, not 10-step programs. We need to take the Word of God that's still able to transform lives. We need to do it in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. God bless you.